Okay. Wishing everyone a very happy Tainus Esther. You say it's very peculiar to wish a happy Tainus Esther. But the Rosh makes a comment that there's only, you know, the other fast days, we always push off because of Peronios, you don't want to advance, except Tainus Esther. And the reason it's the exception, the Rosh says, is because Tainus Esther is not a sad day. The other fast days all have an element, a component of sadness. Because we're doing introspection, reflecting on our shortcoming that led to our challenges, to our destruction, to our demise. Usually a Yom Tanis is a Yom Tshuva. But the Rosh writes that Tainus Esther is the exception. We're not, normally you fast, not to commemorate events of the past, but to commemorate our lowly state in the present. The fact that we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Rambam writes explicitly in Hilchos Tainus that this notion of Keri, we have to re-examine our attitude towards Emunah and Bitachon, Hashem's involvement in our life, not to dismiss Hashem as being random, our life being the result of randomness and chance, but to realize Hashem is involved in absolutely everything. So the Rosh says Tainus Esther is different. Unlike these fast days, which are a Yom Tshuva, Yom Introspection, Tainus Esther is part of the way you commemorate Purim. Just like Purim, the Jewish people, the end of Megillah says that the days were dedicated, the 14th and the 15th were dedicated for celebration, for Yom Tovim. So too, part of the experience is to also emulate what they did in advance. So just like Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim, just like they got together and they fasted, Tzuma Alai, they fasted and they davened, so too, not for 3 days, thankfully, but at least for one day, we get together and we fast and we daven, and that's what brings on Purim. So it's almost as if Tainus Esther is a license to celebrate Purim.
So why do we say
Shlichus? Because Lamaisa, it's still a Tainus, but you didn't say Avinu Malkeinu, Atachem, Mincha. Already at Mincha we begin to transition to Purim. At Mincha there's no Avinu Malkeinu, there's no Tachanun, there's not the usual sadness of a Yom Tanis. So that's why I wish you a happy Tanis Esther, because it should be a day taka of unity and of closeness, and together we should bring the Yeshua like that of Purim. So I felt a little awkward, we're going to go weiter in Gemara Psachim, when we're mamish sitting on the cusp of Purim. It's a Yontif, it's a Chag tonight. I taught the women's Emunah Shir this morning, and we came across a Berditchev, a Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev said that based on the Tikkuni Zohar, that Yom Kippur and Purim are the two sides of the same coin. Yom Kippurim. They're two sides of the same coin, and in fact, which one is superior than the other? Yom Kippur is only Kippurim. Purim is the superior day. So the Berditchev said that we know that the Gzar Din happens on Yom Kippur. Right? In the Ila, everybody davens from the bottom of their heart, the gates are closing. But then we eke it out and we say, if you didn't get it in the Ila, you have until Hashanah Rabbah. Hashanah Rabbah, we daven the Kittel, and we say all Psukah de Zimra, and the Yom Noraim Nigun, and so on. And if you didn't eke it out on Hashanah Rabbah, you have till Zois Chanukah. Eighth day of Chanukah, when the candles are burning brightest, when there's the most light in the world, so you could still sneak in before the Gezayah Din for Zois Chanukah. So the Bedichava says, the real last day, the true Ni'ila of Yom Kippur, the Ni'ila of Yom Kippur is Purim. Yom Kippurim is only like Purim. It means Purim is the real Ni'ila of Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak said, you would wish people a Gemar Chasima Tova on Purim. You wish a good Kvittel, a Gemar Chasima Tova on Purim. So I'm wishing everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova. So how can we go weiter in Gemar Psochim when we're sitting on the cusp of celebrating Purim? So I'm happy to tell you that because nothing's a coincidence in life. Kosh Baruch Hu always has a plan. So today's what we're going to learn today is very relevant for Purim as well. We're on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, heading towards the end of Arvei Psachim. We have to figure out which parak we're going to do next. But we're heading towards the end of Arvei Psachim. And Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. Koshiros v'tishbacha shamra David. You see where we are? 2, 4, six medium lines down. You have thin lines, medium lines, and fat lines. We are six medium lines down. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. Koshiros v'tishbacha shamra David b'sefer Tehillim. All of the words of praise and the songs of adulation that David sang in the book of Tehillim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kineged Atzmo Amran. To whom was he referring? When David HaMelech refers or references in Sefer Tehillim those that are praising God, on whose behalf is he speaking? To whom is he referring? So Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer says, Keneged Atzmo Amran. He's talking about himself. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Keneged Tzibur Amran. He's talking about Knesset Yisrael. That he's not talking about his own trials and travails. Sefer Tehillim is filled with David HaMelech's pleas, his pleadings with Hashem to save him, to intercede on his behalf. Sefer Tehillim, I've always wanted to give a shir, someday I will, that we learn in parallel the Perek in Sefer Shmuel where David HaMelech goes through whatever incident, and then the Perek in Sefer Tehillim where he composes the prayer that was written in real time about what he went through. So Rabbi Eliezer says, "Can I get Atzma?" The David HaMelech is being chased by his rebellious son. He's being chased by his jealous father-in-law. He's being chased by David HaMelech. Spends his life running and hiding and defending himself, and he pleads to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Eliezer says, "Read it, pshuto kamashmo." He's talking about himself. Rabbi Yeshua says, "No, David HaMelech is prophetically anticipating the future exile." And the pleadings, the pleas that he offers throughout Sefer Tehillim are not on behalf of himself, but Keneged Tzibur Amran. He said it on behalf of the Jewish people, Klal Yisrael. But Chachamim Amrim, and the Chachamim say no. You can't just lump them all together. They're not all the same. Yesh Me'em Keneged Tzibur, V'yesh Me'em Keneged Atzmo. Some have to do with Klal Yisrael, and some talk have to do with his own personal experience. Hamuras b'lashon yachid, say the chachamim, those that are written in the singular, keneged atzmo. Hamuras b'lashon rabim, keneged hatzibur. And the ones that are written in the plural are correspond with the tzibur. So now tell me the question that should beg itself. Gemara had three opinions. Rabbi Eliezer said, all of the shiros with tishbachos and tehillim are keneged atzmo. They're his own personal biography, his own personal story. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, they are all Keneged the Tzibur. Chachamim say, you know what, be a little more discerning. Yesh v'yesh. Those that are in the singular about him, those that are in the plural about Klal Yisrael. So what's the obvious question?
How could they hold they all always one?
The obvious question is, once the Chachamim express their opinion, and once we identify that some Tehillim are written b'slashon yachid and some b'slashon rabim, okay, some in the singular and some in the plural, then Taki, you're left wondering, how could Rabbi Eliezer say they're all Keneged Atzmo? How could Rabbi Yeshua say they're all Keneged Tzibur? Don't they notice that some are B'lashon Yachad, some are B'lashon Rabim? Don't they notice that some are written in the singular and some are written in the plural?
He switched to the royal we.
Okay, so maybe he switched to the royal we. Maybe he goes back and forth between the two. So this is the Iyun Yaakov. The Iyun Yaakov, I'm sorry, the only edition I found, I was on my laptop in bed, my leg up, trying to put these sources together. So this is the only edition I found. There's a very old print. I apologize for that. The Iyun Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Reischer, is the Iyun Yaakov is a commentary on all the Agadata in Shas. So here the Iyun Yaakov explains. Keneged Atzmo Amran. I'm on the left column halfway down. The left column halfway down where it says Keneged. See it?
Yeah.
First, if you go to the comment before, the Iyun Yaakov notes, how could you say Kol Hashiros V'Tishbachos? We know, we mentioned last week, the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that we have miscellaneous Mizmorim that were written by others. Asar Zakenim, Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a Mesorah, Korach, of different Mizmorim that were written by different individuals. So how could you say Kol Shiros V'Tishbachos that were said by David and Sefer Tehillim? So he says David collected them and published them. You're right, he may not have been the author of all of them, but he's attributed with Sefer Tehillim because he redacted and edited and publishes them. Now back to our question, if there's some are Yashin Yachid, some are Lashon Rabim, how could Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua make sweeping statements? So the Iyun Yaakov says Keneged Atzmo Amran. Why did he sometimes say it in the way? Because once David HaMelech became king, the king is like the leader of the Jewish people. The king has jurisdiction of the people. He's Nechshav Karabim. The king represents the masses. He's thought of as the masses. And that's why, when it's written in the individual, maybe it's before he's king. And when he's written afterwards, I don't know, you have to go back and plug this in to Sefer Tehillim. You got to go back and plug it in. And what does Rabbi Yeshua say? Rabbi Yeshua, the Amar Keneged Tzibur Amran, Avshu Lashon Yachid, Kol Yisrael Chashuv and Kish Echad, V'Korim B'Lashon Yachid. So it's not a challenge. Why? I mean, again, you're still left with the question. So why sometimes B'Lashon Rabim and sometimes B'Lashon Yachid? But you'll explain at least that why refer to Kol Yisrael B'Lashon Yachid? Because Kish Echad B'Lev Echad, Kimu V'Kiblu Ayehudim Purim. The Kimu of Kimu V'Kiblu, Rav David Cohn. The Gvul Yaivitz points out the Kimu in the Megillah is written without the Vav. It's written as V'Kayam, like Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Just like at Har Sinai, we were united as one, and that's why it doesn't say Vayachanu, but it says Vayichan. So too on Purim, when we were Kimu V'Kiblu, Kimu Mashikiblu Kfar, it says Kibel, not Kiblu. Not Kiem, Kibel, I think it says. Not Kiblu, I don't know, you got to check the Megillah. So anyway, so over here, that's why it says the Yun Yaakov, that's why sometimes David HaMelech writes, B'Lashon Yachid, to refer to Klal Yisrael united, and sometimes B'Lashon Rabim, I guess, when they are not. And Chachamim, Svirlei, Mikain Mikriyotim Midei Pshuto, Ba'pligi. Chachamim say, what do you mean? You can't, sometimes it's B'Lashon Yachid, sometimes it's B'Lashon Rabim. It is what it is, and that's what's going on. Okay, so the first thing we saw is this machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and the Chachamim, which begged the question on Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. The Yun Yaakov explains that it's appropriate to refer to David HaMelech B'Lashon Rabim because he's the king, and it's appropriate to refer to Klal Yisrael B'Lashon Yachid because they are united. Weiter. The Braisa continues. The Mizmorim and Tehillim are written Nitzuach V'Nigun. For example, you have L'Natzeach Ben Ginos. So you have Nitzuach and Nigun written in the header of Tehillim. And these are all talking about things that are La'asid Lava. They are prophetic. They're all talking about things that didn't happen. Whereas Maskil, for example, the David Maskil, is Al Yidei Turgamon. David whispered it quietly, and a Turgamon repeated it loudly to everybody. So the Rashbam writes, the David Mizmor Mashma Tchila Yel David Ruach HaKodesh V'Achakach Mizmor. I'm sorry, that's the wrong Rashbam. So the Rashbam was on the previous page. On the previous page on the bottom. Ayidei Turgamon. Look on the bottom of Kufta Zayin Amad Beis. Nitzuach V'Nigun Lassad Lavo Komokum Shenemar Nitzuach L'Natzeach B'Neginos Lassad Lavo Hu Medaber V'lo Yadon Eicha Mashma Elahach Yavikimlu. If you were wondering what about the words Lam Natzeach makes it sound like it is Lasid Lavo, the Rashbam says, I'm not really sure. You're in good company. I would conjecture a guess. Lam Natzeach is like Netzach. Netzach is eternality. Eternity. That sounds like the future. So Lam Natzeach, Nitzuach V'Nigun, Lasid Lavo, Maskul is Ayidei Turgama. L'David Mizmor, when David HaMelech and Tehillim writes L'David Mizmor, in other words, he puts the word L'David before Mizmor. Malamid Shar Sal of Shechina V'Achakach HaMashira. First, he was visited with divine countenance. First, he had divine inspiration. And then he composed the song. But when it says Mizmor L'David, Malamid She'amar Shira V'Achakach Shar Sal of Shechina. So sometimes in Tehillim you have Mizmor L'David, and sometimes you have L'David Mizmor. What's the difference between the two? It depends. Was he first inspired and then he wrote the song? Or did he write the song and the song brought with it divine inspiration? Weiter. Lula Medcha, this teaches, She'ein Shechina Shora lo mitoch atzlus v'lo mitoch atzvus v'lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalos rosh v'lo mitoch dvarim betelem. We see from here that Shechina only resides, or let me put it the other way, Shechina will not reside if you're lazy, if you're sad, if you are frivolous, if you are joking, if you are dvarim b'telem, ela mitoch davar simcha shel mitzvah. The only time that the Shechina visits you, you want to feel spirituality, you crave spirituality, big catchphrase today, spirituality, everything's spirituality. So you want to feel spiritual, then you can't be lazy or depressed or joking or frivolous. You have to be serious. Mitoch davar simcha shel mitzvah. And that's why the Shekhinah visited David after he had simcha. So now, in other words, he sang shira, which brought the simcha, and only when he had the simcha from singing shira, that's when the Shekhinah visited. And that's when it says, Mizmor la David. First he had the Mizmor, and then he had the Shekhinah. And Shenemar, you see this in a pasuk of the Elisha Anavi, in Malachim. V'yata kichu li min again, v'haya ken again ha min again, v'ati alav yad Hashem. Right, Elisha loses Nevuah. What happens is Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, and Yehoram, the king of Israel, went to go fight war with Moab. And they came to ask Elisha the Navi about what will be. And when they came to Elisha, Elisha was angry at Yehoram because he was Ovid Avodah Zarah. He had compromised the Jewish people because he was an idolater. And so he got angry. And because he got angry, he lost the Shekhinah. He lost Nevuah. You can't receive prophecy. You can't have spirituality when you're angry. So he'd lost Nevuah. And he wasn't able to bring back the Nevuah because you need Simcha. So what did he do? Elisha Hanavi, he asked a musician to come and play in front of him so that hearing the music would lift his spirits and he would have Simcha. And when he had Simcha, then the Shekhinah would be Shora. So that's why I said today is what we're learning is relevant to Purim. Yishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. Purim is the day on the calendar, the greatest day of Simcha. And this is the day that the Shekhinah visits us. Now we understand why it's only Yom Kippurim is only Kippurim. Yom Kippur has many things. Simcha is not necessarily what you'd associate with it. But you're living ascetic. You're living apart from the physical pleasures of this world. Purim, we indulge, we elevate, we transform the physical pleasures of this world. We feel great Simcha. And that's why in Purim, in the context of the great Simcha that we're feeling, we have the capacity for the Shekhinah to be Shora, to welcome and to feel the intensity of the divine presence. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda Marav teaches, V'chein l'dvar halacha. If you want to learn a halacha, can't be depressed or sad or lazy or wasting time or joking around. You can only successfully transmit halacha mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. You have to feel a sense of simcha shel mitzvah. Amar Rav Nachman, furthermore, V'chein l'chalom tov. Moreover, you want to have a good dream, go to sleep in a good mood. Mitoch simcha, you need to have happiness. If you're worried and anxious and despondent when you fall asleep, it's no wonder you're going to have a bad dream. You want to have a good dream, a good shluch?
You don't sleep either.
What?
You never sleep well either.
You also won't sleep either. That's true. Look at the Rashbam. L'David mizmor mashma mitchilo hayel l'David ruach ha-kodesh v'achar kach mizmor. Mizmor l'David mashma mitoch ha-mizmor ba-shchina l'David. So sometimes David had the Shekhinah, then he composed the Shira. Other times he needed the Shira to put him in the mood, which earned him the Shekhinah. And that's when it says Mizmor David. L'lamid mikan says the Rashbam, mikan ata lamad, v'gam mipasak acher mochiach, shenemar v'atu kichu li migin. Simcha shal mitzvah, kiach dekichu li minagin, shaya mischavin shetishra olav Shekhinah. Very interesting. The Gemara had said, Shekhinah is only Shora, mitoch simcha shal mitzvah. It didn't say mitoch simcha. It wasn't stam, you listened to a good comedy routine. Somebody tickled you, and now the Shekhinah could come. It has to be mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. And yet the Rashbam points out that the proof text that we bring of a simcha shel mitzvah was Elisha, who wanted music. What's the mitzvah there? That's not a simcha shel mitzvah. Elamai, we're going to see this in a moment, why did he want the music? He wanted the nevuah back. He wanted to feel a sense of simcha that would position him to earn the nevuah back.
That's a mitzvah.
So he transformed listening to music into a mitzvah. And that became simcha shel mitzvah. V'chein l'chalom, says the Rashbam, im holech lishon mitoch simcha roa chalom tov. If you go to sleep out of joy with happiness, you're going to have a good dream. We're going to come back to all this in a moment, but I just want to finish the Gemara. So, frag the Gemara kasha, inni, is this true? Is it true that Rav said you can only learn Torah b'simcha? You can only accurately discover the halacha, transmit the halacha, when you learn b'simcha. Any Talmud Chacham sitting in front of his Rebbe learning, and his lips are not trembling with fear. Tichvena, it's roi that his lips will break. Shenemar sivsoso shoshanim notvos morover. Al tikre shoshanim ela sheshonim. Sheshonim means that teach, that learn, that repeat. The al tikre morover ela mar over. Marirus, meaning you have to be so serious when you're learning. Be'ema, be'ira, be'resas. Person has to learn out of sobriety. Person has to learn with a sense of seriousness. Person should be trembling as they transmit the authentic Torah. So how can you tell me, Rav said, v'chein lahalacha, that you can only transmit Torah mitoch simcha shel mitzvah? Rav Gidol quoted Rav as saying the opposite. That you have to, your lips have to quiver with fear. You have to tremble with a sense of awe and reverence for learning. So the Gemara answer is lo kasha. It's not a question. It's not a stira in Rav. Why? Ha. In the case they have to learn besimcha is berabo. In the teacher has to be besimcha. That's why he takes Percocet. Vaha betalmida. The student who's listening to the shir should feel a sense of awe and reverence and trembling. That's the first answer. The second answer, Iboy Zema, Hava Biraba, really Rav, both statements apply to the Rebbe. Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Ha Mekame de Pasach, before the Rebbe begins, he should feel a sense of simcha. Before the Rebbe starts the shir, he should lift the spirits, take away the inhibition, have a festive atmosphere. Bahalabasa de Pasach. But after you begin the shir, then you're all business. Once you begin the shir, then you have to learn the sense of seriousness. Kihad Rabba, and so once the Gemara mentions this,
I think the difference between the first and the second, he said Talmide, and he said fear and awe is for the rabbi, for the rabbi. No, that's what it says. The rabbi has to be the simcha, the student. The second one shows.
They both should be.
Right.
Right. Once the shir starts. Right.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So according to the second answer, we now quote the practice of Rabba. I'm sure you're familiar. Before Rabbah would begin his shir, Amar Milsa de Bedichusa. He would say a joke. Ubarchu Rabbanon. He would try to get the people to laugh. So when he began the shir, he would tell a story, he'd tell a joke, he'd open the drusha with something to lighten the mood and to gain the interest. And once he captivated their interest and he lightened the mood, then he would give the shir Be'emsa, Be'ema. And he began. This is a pedagogic method.
That's why my drosha always starts.
Joke, a story, research, data.
That's how you got it.
Absolutely. Right. If you begin by saying in this week's parsha, it says you might as well hand out a pillow and a blanket. Yeah. No, once you get into the meat of the shir, the drosha, it's got to be be'ema.
Right.
You have to be serious.
No,
but the way you begin the shir, you lighten the mood. Okay?
Capturing their attention.
So the question is why? Let's go back to the source sheets now. Page 2 is the Maharal. The same Gemara appears in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Maharal is Chidusha Agados, extrapolates on the Gemara there, not to here, but it's the same Gemara that appears in both places. The idea that Shechina is only Shora, Purim, Simcha. In order to be eligible to feel spirituality, to feel Hashem in your life, then you can't have atzlus, atzvus, schok, kalas rosh, tavarim betelim. Only simcha, shel mitzvah. So why is that? So the Maharal writes. The Sheva, yeah, look at on the left hand side, the first complete paragraph. Shavach ani yasa simcha. Perish, kasher adam b'simcha, as nafsho b'shleimusa. Only when a person feels a sense of simcha are they whole and are they complete. K'mosha be'aru d'arzeb b'mekomos harbe ma'od me'inyan ha'simcha she'ishleimus ha'nefesh. In other words, if you're feeling sad, down, despondent, if you're feeling lazy, uninspired, then you're an incomplete person. You're a fragment of a person. You're a fractured person. To really be whole, to be fulfilling your purpose, your mission, to be fully alive, is to be b'simcha. Simcha is necessary for shleimus hanefesh. That's why, I don't know if we remember this, I don't know if we mentioned this in here. The Mishnah that says Mishin Nichnas Av Mematin Besimcha. Chazal expand that Mishin Nichnas Av Marbin Besimcha. It doesn't say that in Av you have no Simcha, and in Adar you have lots of Simcha. It says in Av you tune it down, and in Adar you turn it up. But really, you have to always have a pilot light of Simcha. You can never not have Simcha. According to this Maharal, you're not Bishlemusa, you're not alive. You're not living if you don't have Simcha. So there's times where it's appropriate to tone down, dial down the Simcha. In Av, you dial down the Simcha. In a Shiva home, you dial down the Simcha. But in Adar, you dial it up. But the pilot light, you always have to have the presence of Simcha somewhat.
That's why it's saying, does Hashem besimcha, because it's supposed to be an Eved Hashem the whole time. Oh. So, if does Hashem besimcha.
If does Hashem. Every aspect of your being an Eved Hashem should be besimcha. The kasher asimcha yishal mitzvah, as ha-shlemas hazeh, shlemas eloki. U-shlemas hazeh roi l'shabeach. So when you're simcha, when you have simcha, now you're alive. When you're alive, you're a person. But when you're simcha, the source of the simcha is not stam, a joke, frivolity, but it's a simcha shal mitzvah. You're happy, you're excited, you're going to hear the Megillah. You're going to give matanos levyon, mishloach manos. Zeich l'machetz is a shekel. When you're excited and alive from simcha shal mitzvah, so now the shlemus that you feel, says the Maharal, the wholeness, the alive that you are, is animated and inspired by your godliness. So, you know, you're going to drink, you're going to get high artificially in a counterfeit way, so that's not a simcha shal mitzvah. That's a simcha shal hololus. Simcha shal mitzvah is to get high on a mitzvah. V'omar she'en ha-shechina shora, continues the Maharal, perish, ki malas ha-simcha ki en ha-shechina shora, perish, ki en ha-shechina shora al-dover chaser rak al-ha-shalim. Shechina, God, is perfect. And God can only dwell, God's presence can only be felt on something which is perfect, on something which is whole. U'lefichach kasher nafsho ena b'simcha v'hi b'chisaron. When a person is sad, down, depressed, despondent, when they're lacking, ein ashchina shora. They're incomplete. They're imperfect. They're not whole. And God, who's whole, ishchina, can only dwell on that which is whole. Aval simcha gashmis, ein ashchina shora yidei simcha zos. Ki Hashem yisbarach nivdam min advarim agashmiyim. Right? In other words, God is purely spiritual. The simcha that's brought about by the physical is not enough to precipitate God visiting his spiritual countenance. For God's spiritual countenance, the source of simcha has to be the spiritual, and therefore it has to be brought about from a simcha shel mitzvah. Klal adavar, ki ma sha'amar shlomo, shabeach ani es ha-simcha, hainu kasher ha-simcha yelokus, aval simcha shigashmas, lamazos. Fine. V'chein advar alocha, continues the Maharal. Our Gemara continue, Chazal say, that not only does Shechina only visit you when you have simcha, rather than these other things, so too l'dvar halacha, she'en l'torah she'elokis chibu arak el ha'shalim, v'lo el ha'chaser. So Torah, which is the expression of the Ribono Shel Olam, Torah which is whole and complete and perfect, it's not missing or lacking, can only visit that which is whole and complete and perfect, and that's only brought about whole and complete and perfect through simcha. Rak hasher ha'mekabel b'shleimus, az ef shelo l'kabel v'lo zu l'zeh. V'hosiv rava v'chein l'chalom tov, similarly a dream. Shemar anu l'adam chalom tov kashiru b'simcha. V'davar zeh she'achalom echad mishishim b'nevua. Gemara Bracha says that a dream is 1/60th of prophecy. V'kamo she'en shechina shorah rak mitoch simcha, kach ein chalom tov rak mitoch simcha. So if a dream contains within it an element of prophecy, and prophecy you can only get when you have simcha, so too you can only have a dream, a good dream, when you have simcha. V'davka chalom tov, ki chalom tov, b'meshu tov yesh lo dargi yoser al-yonam en ha-chalom ra. Ki chol tov yesh lo madreg al-yonam b'yosef al-lachen l'chalom tov. Okay? Maharal continues on the next page. He's going through our whole Agadata, piece by piece. So what did he say so far? He said, Shechina is only shora on simcha because spirituality needs a vessel to contain it, and a Jew who's not besimcha is not whole. And in order to be able to be a whole vessel to contain Shechina, you have to be besimcha. And that explains why halacha, which is the Dvar Hashem, halacha, which is the spiritual word of Hashem, has to be captured in the whole vessel, and that explains why a chalom tov, a good dream, because dream is a 60th of nevuah. If nevuah only comes about through simcha, so too a good dream. Okay, the Maharal continues on the next page, page 3. Habaraba, Haba Talmud. Perush, right? The Gemara had said, we had a stira in Rav. How could Rav say that you have to learn Torah out of simcha? Rav said that you have to be quivering and trembling. So the first answer we gave is, it depends. The Rebbe can be besimcha. The student should be with a sense of awe. Says the Maharal, Perush, HaTalmud mitzad shu mekabel haTorah, mekarev haTorah, ulekach kol talmud she'ein sef sosov, notfos mar, danem ariros tchuna sef sosov. Ki haTorah hi eish, v'roi she'ti haTorah ki erach eish, she'kol adem mekarev haEish, b'pachar v'yira, v'kach roi she'el haTalmud, nechshev haTorah. Mishe'ein haTorah be'erach zeh, rak mekarev haTorah b'lo yira, hu nechveh. Kamo she'mekarev haEish b'lo yira. Torah is likened to fire. Torah is also likened to water. The Maharal says that we have a theme that Torah is likened to fire. So just as a person approaches, someone who's not familiar or used to fire, they're a student of fire, approaches the fire with fear, with trepidation, with awe, with respect for the fire, so too the Talmud who's learning Torah, who's not yet familiar with Torah, has to treat it like Eish and has to do so with care and concern. Avar Abay, Shekvar Yeshlo Torah, but the Rebbe who has imbibed, who has absorbed Torah, who stands for Torah, can't be burnt by Torah. The Eish is within him. And that's why he can be more comfortable and the Rebbe can have a sense of simcha. Okay, so that's how the Maharal explains the first answer of the Gemara, the Stira and Rav. Habarabo habitalman. The Kamar Yibai Seima, then we give a second answer. We said, really, it's not a stir and rav. Both are talking about the Rebbe. Before the Rebbe begins, he's besimcha, he tells a good joke. After the Rebbe begins, he gets down to business, he's serious. So before he begins, roi shiyah lo simcha, kidei shiyah libo rachav b'torah. In order to open you up, you know, people are stressed and anxious and closed down, skeptical, cynical, sarcastic. You hear a good joke, it opens you up. It softens the mood, it softens the room. So says the Maharal, the Rebbe begins with a good joke to soften the mood a little bit, to open people up, to expand the heart. So you'll say, how can you tell a joke? What kind of Kavod HaTorah is that? It's Kavod HaTorah that you're going to begin with a joke? The answer is, you haven't started learning yet. You haven't started learning yet, you're okay. But once the Rebbe's speaking, the Torah said is a vessel, a vehicle of Eish, a fire. Says the Maharal, it's like a person who's approaching the king. So on the way to see the king, he's so excited, he made the cut, he was invited to the White House. He's going to see. But once you get in front of the dignitary, this powerful person, now you feel overwhelmed with a sense of awe. Okay, so that's the Maharal walking us through our Gemara. That why is it the Shekhinah is only shorah mitoch simcha? Because without simcha, we're incomplete. Purim, we become whole, we become complete. You get rid of your inhibition and that which is holding you back. You feel a sense of simcha. You see Hashem's role. What's the source of, by the way, in Purim? Where does the simcha of Purim come from? From the Yeshua. From the fact that God saved us. Many times God saved us. Where does the simcha of Purim dafka come from? Batla Megillas Tainus. We don't have these minor holidays. The exception of Hanukkah and Purim. So why? What's so special about Purim? She'en kamo, that there's nothing like it. Where is the simcha of Purim?
The method by way it came about.
Meaning?
Meaning, it wasn't a Gili Elikus, it was a hidden miracle.
Good. The Simcha of Purim, the Simcha of Adar, is V'nahafachu. So on the surface level, you could say it's that things change so quickly. The unexpected happened. Right? Everything was topsy-turvy. It went on its head. And that's a sense of simcha. It's a Yeshua that came with a sense of simcha, a salvation with a joy. But I think you could say more than that. It's like the manner of the Yeshua. Pesach, God did 10 plagues, and He split the sea. He revealed His hand explicitly. So for us to see Shekhinah, big deal. Big deal. You know what Shekhinah, when you see Shekhinah, you feel simcha, or when you have simcha, you feel Shekhinah, it means you know you're in front of Hashem. When you doubt, when you're uncertain if there's a God or not, did God create the world? Is there meaning, purpose, and order to the universe? Does everything make sense? Why is this happening to me? Then you're left feeling sad and down. But if you say to yourself, there's a Ribono Shel Olam, as Marco Rubio so courageously said the night he suspended his campaign, he said, quote, God is perfect, He doesn't make mistakes, He has a mission for every one of us, I remain grateful to God.
Wow.
Tremendous statement of Emunah.
Wow.
God is perfect, He doesn't make mistakes. On the most humiliating night of his life, broadcast around the planet, he looked in the camera and he said, God is perfect, He doesn't make mistakes, He has some mission for every one of us, I remain grateful to God. So, when one feels Hashem in their life, when one knows that there's a God who's responsible for everything, when we write Hashem's name into the Megillah, so you can't help it, you're filled with simcha. I don't understand why this happened, I don't understand why that happened, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I know that it's not random. I know I'm not a statistic. I know it's not chance. There's a reason, there's meaning, there's purpose, there's order. And knowledge, that knowledge is the greatest source of simcha. That's why those who were at the shir yesterday, the Rav explains, whenever you see the word simcha in the Torah, it's always in association with the words lifnei Hashem. V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Lifnei Hashem, always simcha lifnei Hashem. When you're in the Beis HaMikdash and you know with certainty, with no doubt, that God exists and He's involved in our life and He cares and loves every one of us, then you can't help but feel simcha. Everything that happens is good for me? Well, that's amazing news. That's fantastic. That's great. So on the Yontif, where Kosh Baruch Hu revealed His hand, Pesach, the miracles are revealed. So yeah, there's a simcha, but that's not the holiday of simcha. It's on the Yontif of Purim, that if we want to, we could deny Hashem's existence. If you want to read the Megillah, Hashem's name doesn't appear in there. You want to read the Megillah like a novel? You want to read the Megillah like a book? You want to read the Megillah and say it's just nature, history, chance, there's no God? That option is available to you. Ribono Shel Olam's name doesn't appear in the Megillah. It's dafka when we write Hashem's name into the story. When we see His guiding hand, that's when we feel simcha, that's when we feel the Shekhinah. That's why Rav Asher Weiss says it's called Megillah's Esther. The word Megillah means to be Megala. Esther is the Nister. Our avoda of Megillah's Esther is to be Megala the Nister. When you listen to the story, you're not listening to the words the way they appear. You're listening to the subtext of the story. You're not reading HaMelech Achashverosh. HaMelech, each time it's used, is the Ribono Shel Olam. That we don't just listen to the story. The story is the means through which we bring the Shekhinah. We recognize that it's not random, that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's no greater simcha. That's why Purim is the Yontif of simcha, because when you write Hashem into your story, you feel an incredible sense of simcha. You know, it's a big chiddush that comes out. The Gemara says, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Tomorrow morning we will not recite Hallel. The Gemara gives 3 reasons, and one of them is Kriyasa Zuhilula, that the reading of the Megillah is a Hallel. So understand, when you hear the Megillah tonight does not have the din of Kriyas HaTorah. It has the din of Tefillah. I shouldn't say, it doesn't only have the din of Kriyas HaTorah. On the one hand, the Megillah is like listening to the reading of the Torah. It has a din of Kriyas HaTorah. But the Megillah also has a din of Tefillah. Because Kriyasa Zuhilula. Megillah is how we say Hallel. Berov HaMahadras Melech. The more people who come together and we hear the Megillah being read and we stamp out Haman and we cheer on Mordechai and we say Ish Yehudi Hayu B'Shushan Abira and Revach V'Hatzolah and we Sosam V'Simcha, all these things for the Jews. This is not Stam Kriyas HaTorah. We're not just listening passively to something be read, but we are participating actively in an expression and an articulation of Tefillah. Kriyas HaZuhilulah. Its reading is a Hallel. And I think the greatest Hallel in the reading is that we're reading Hashem's name into it. Megillas Esther or Megala the Nister. We're not reading it like everyone else reads it. We're not reading it like someone in a hotel room who takes the Bible out of the dresser drawer and reads this Megillah, one of the 24 books of Tanakh, and says, that's interesting, that's weird, there's no God's name. We read it and God's name is all over the place. And when you read Megillah and God's name is all over the place, that's Hallel. That's bringing the Shekhinah to Bishora, and that's why it's the holiday of Simcha, because there's no greater Simcha than feeling your Lifnei Hashem being in front of the Shekhinah. Okay, let's get back to our Gemara. So our Gemara said, based on the second answer, we had a Stira and Rav. Are you supposed to learn Torah out of Simcha? Are you supposed to learn Torah out of awe? And we gave two answers, and the second answer was that both regarding the Rebbe, one is before he begins, and the other is after he begins. So the Gemara said, based on this, that Rabbah had the practice of telling a good joke, a good story, lightening the mood before he began. So what does it mean he told a good joke? Stami told the joke. What kind of joke? He went to Barnes & Noble, he took out, you know, the famous Jews, what is it, old Jews telling jokes? His books. What kind of jokes did he tell? So the Pnei Yeshua of Yeshua Falk, source 4. This is the Pnei Yeshua's Hakdamah's Psicha to his commentary on Maseches Ksubas. And he begins the Psicha by saying the following. Omar HaMachaber Yan ki matzinu b'divrei chachameinu de garsinu Maseches Shabbos perek b'mem adlikim Rabba mekamei de pasach lulu rabbonon Omar milso de b'dichusa u'b'dichi rabbonon l'vasov yosti b'emso pasach b'shmaita. Right, quoting our Gemara. It appears in Shabbos and it appears here in the end of Psachim. Ulanias Daiti says the Pnei Yeshua Kmozar Nechshav Lefarish Dvarim Kipshpashtan. It would be very strange to explain these words the way they appear. Shiaya Omer Lehem Milsa de Bedichusa Mamash Bamila de Bedichi Dmavachu Muktsa Mehadas. What do you think? Rabba had a joke book? Rabba Googled on the internet for the best Jewish jokes? He stam told humor? It's impossible. The Balavach lo yitachin lafarish kein. The Maisla milsa hadamin leamine. Shein shkin asher. Lo mitoch schok. Lo mitoch kalas rosh. Lo mitoch sicha. Lo mitoch dvar metelim. Ela mitoch dover simcha shal mitzvah. What do you mean? We just said a moment ago that the shkin is only shora when you don't have schok and kalas rosh. So what are you going to tell me? Rabbi told some joke. The joke was schok and kalas rosh. It was stam a joke. We just said that shkin is not shora when you're in a frivolous mindset, so it can't be. Amar Biyudah v'chein l'davar alacha makshin ala ini v'amar Rav Gidlom Rav koma tamachachom sheyoshev v'nei rabo. He quotes our whole Gemara here. Perish Rashi tzarch l'vtoch b'milu d'b'dichusa b'reisha v'im kein yef shalafarish d'ay milu d'b'dichusa hayna milu d'b'dichim milu ba'alma d'ha ad'rabo amirin l'hedja b'hepach. So the Pnei Yeshua says he doesn't buy it. When the Gemara says you should start out your drasha, your Dvar Torah, with a joke, it doesn't mean stam a joke. Ela al korchach trichin an lefarish d'hai milsa d'bedichusa tzorach lios b'inyan simcha shal mitzvah d'alekoi. It doesn't mean stam a joke. You know, we have like Talmudic humor. You know, the rabbis had their own language of humor. Sarcasm, cynicism, the rabbis would make a sharp comment about something, a reference, an allusion, a gematria. They had their own sense of humor. Im kein yitachin lefarish be'echad mishnei drachim. O shenemar da'imilib di'chusa hainu gam kein b'divrei Torah shi'isimcha shal mitzvah shuz misameach alev. Maybe you could say that before he gave the Dvar Torah, he gave a Dvar Torah. So he gave a Dvar Torah that opened up the heart and that put them in a good mood. El Shaya Omer Tamidav Afshalo Aliba de Hilchasa Elakade Lachadeid Bola Tamidim Kideshkan on the Hedge become a Duchti Barabba Gufe Damina Varabba Lachadude La Bayuda Ovid. That maybe it means he didn't tell a joke, he said a Dvar Torah. Normally the Divrei Torah he gave were all Aliba de Hilchasa. Normally the Dvar Torah he gave was all about what's the proper halachic action, the halachic behavior, what's the action item. So now, before he began the shir, before he gave the Dvar Torah that had to do with the Dvar Halacha, Aliba d'Hilchasa, before he gave Drush. He gave a Dvar Torah of Drush before he gave the Dvar Torah of the Halacha. You have to understand, there's a radical new way of understanding it. Right? The classic way of understanding this Gemara on Shabbos and Psachim is, yeah, Rabbi told a joke, there's nothing wrong, you tell a joke. Jews have good senses of humor, you tell a joke. But Bnei Yeshua says it wasn't a joke. He said a Dvar Torah, which was more lighthearted, not Aliba d'Hilchasa. Because it's impossible to believe you would tell a joke after we just read in the Gemara that Shechina is not Shura when you're a joker. So it's impossible. So that's the first possibility. Or maybe what it means is he said some agarata. You know, if you learn in the daf, sometimes you have some rough days in the daf. You get to a page of agarata, you can exhale. You breathe a little sigh of relief. Interesting agarata, fascinating. It's humorous. The agarata is a change of pace. So that's what it means, says the Pnei Yoshua. Not milsa de b'dichusa, that he told Stam a joke. Milsa de b'dichusa means that he said some agarata before he said over the... before he said over the shear on halacha. Okay, that is the approach of the Pnei Yoshua. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, the great Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, has a sefer on Parsha called Teferis Yehonason. And the great Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz writes in Parshas Re'eh. I thank the Masifta Gemara that helped me find all this, lest you think that I'm such a Talmud Chacham. On the left-hand column, the left hand column. No, the whole paragraph on the left side. On page 5 of the handout. Teferis Yainis and Rabbi Yainis and Aibshitz. The Gemara says, Amr Bishmuel, Shiyavana Beis Amikdash Avi Chata Shmeina. When the Beis Amikdash is built, Bishmuel says, I'm going to bring a fat Chatas. The Eshel Oven, Ha'isa Gemara, Kolosik Vitoris Chatas, Kilo Hikrav Chatas. By learning about Chatas, if you brought it. Very built yisafik she'osek b'toras chatas kil hikrav chatas v'lama al adayta la'akrav davka korban mamish. Why did he say I'm going to bring a fat chatas? Why did he think he had to offer a chatas? He didn't have to offer it. His learning it was as if he had already offered it. V'od lama dayik shmeina davka malim shmeina imraza. And why did he say I'm going to bring a fat chatas? F-A-T, not P-H-A-T, the language of the younger generation. I'm going to bring a fat chatas. Who cares if the chatas is fat or thin? So the Nira Disa the Gemara says, Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, we know the Gemara says, our Gemara, Regin Lahayulomar, Bimeakad Monum Kodam Alim Mareza Milsa the Bdichusa. Before they would begin learning, they would say over some joke, some lighthearted statement, Ulevar Derech Anatza. Halatza, Litain Tamlaze, Domr Chazal. Chiz Sichas Chulun Shotam Chacham Trichon Limud. Samach Mem is the Sitra Achra, is the evil spirit, is the other side, the Makatrig. Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz is tapping his Kabbalah. And he says the idea is as follows. Whenever we're about to do a mitzvah, there's a makatrig. You're about to engage in the spiritual, so the physical component of you is makatrig. It has to meet, it has to tempt you at the same level. It rises to the same level. So in order for us to distract the makatrig, in order for us to satisfy and indulge the physical so it's taken care of while we can engage in the spiritual, you find that. So that's why you tell a joke. You say this with tefillin. Tefillin she'asaros megulin k'tas. We have some of the hair of the tefillin comes out through the hole a little bit. V'inei b'limud ein l'sitra achra chelik b'klal. When you learn Torah, the Yetzirah, the sitra achra, the dark side, has no place at all. And that's why we tell a joke before we start learning. You satisfy the dark side, you satisfy the Yetzirah, the Sitra Achra, and once you satisfy the Yetzirah, the dark side, now the dark side will free you up in order to do learning. So So that's how he explains this maimer. You see this also, the Gemara says a number of times, great rabbis, when they would make a siyum, they would get an il igla tilsa, they would go get this third calf, they would go very get this very good meat, this delicacy, and they would make a siyum. Why would they make a siyum? Because dafka, when you're celebrating the spiritual, you have to indulge the physical so that it gives you room to enjoy the spiritual. You have this on Shavuos. All the other Yom Tovim, you have a machlokas. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. But Shavuos, Yom Shen, Nitna Batorah, everybody agrees, including Rabbi Yeshua, that you have to have Lachem. Why do you have to have Lachem on Shavuos? Because Yom Shen Nitna Batorah, a day that's a spiritual pursuit, that you can have the Makatrig, you have to take care of the Shalachem, you have to take care of yourself. In other words, I'm looking at it, all these hollow faces. When you have a chocolate chip cookie and a coffee in your system, right? When you come to the shir and you add up a little fruit and a chocolate chip cookie and some coffee, oh, we could give shir for 6 hours in a row and it's geschmack. And everybody loves it. We could feed the neshama till the end. But we're sitting here on Tainas Esther and you and I are both passing out. And so the guf is being mekatrig on the neshama and it's craving some more food. So Rabbi Yonah Sinapshitz explains, what's this idea that you tell a joke before you give shir? You begin the drasha with a joke. The idea is you got to take care of the guf before you can get the full attention of the neshama. Very interesting idea. Yeah. Yeah. What does he say?
The food is given to the sitra achra.
You're giving the shmeina a fat chattis. You give a nice barbecue to the sitra achra so you can get back. Good. The Balatanya of Shneir Zalman of Liadi, the first Rebbe, on page 6, also references this in the 7th parak of Tanya. And he says the following. You see where it says, V'chein HaOmer, almost halfway up, the last two words on the page. V'chein HaOmer. V'chein HaOmer, Milsa de B'dichuso lefakech daito. The reason that we begin with a joke is to sharpen the mind. Right? Somebody said before, you gain attention, it's a pedagogic method. You gain the attention. And you want to bring happiness and joy to Hashem, to His Torah, to His service. In other words, says the Baal Tanya, this is consistent. We know it says in the Tochacha and Dvarim Kisavo that we are liable. You could be observant, you could be keeping all of the Torah, every one of its details. But if you're a fabisana person, if you're a negative person, if you're a bitter person, an angry person, a down person, so you're going to have a price to pay. The tochacha will be visited upon you because you're depressed and you're down. Tachas ha-shelo avadatas Hashem lokecha b'simcha u'betuv levav. Our avoda, ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. Our avoda has to be b'simcha. So before you begin avoda, first you taste simcha. That's how the Baal Tanya explains. Milsa de B'dichusa. The Rabba, he says Rava, but Rabba would first tell a joke before beginning Shir. Why? In order to create an atmosphere of Simcha. Because, Tachas HaShalai Bartas HaShom HaKecha B'Simcha, Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha, before we can be Oved Hashem, we need to feel a sense of Simcha. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Dibros Moshe on Shabbos, has an essay on this too. We're out of time, so you could take it, go through it on your own. But he goes through the issue of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. L'chora perish Simcha Shal Mitzvah heim ha-simcha b'mitzvah shenetztavinu lasos b'simcha. What does it mean, the Shechina Shora, when you do a Simcha Shal Mitzvah? You know, it's a funny language, Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Mitzvah lav lehenas nitnu. Mitzvahs were not given to us to enjoy. So how do you have a Simcha Shal Mitzvah? You're getting a geschmack out of doing a mitzvah? Who says you deserve a geshmak? Mitzvahs love la'enet, no. So what does it mean, a simcha shel mitzvah? So Moshe says it means mitzvahs that we have been told must be done b'simcha. Like, hachnasas kala, simchas beis ha-shoeva, yontif, you have a mitzvah of simcha, mavar milula v'simcha shisameach adam asiyas ha-mitzvah, v'avas Hashem. We have a litany of mitzvahs that were all given to us where the way we do them is part of the mitzvah. Right? We've talked about the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah. There's a Maisa, but the Kiyam is belayed with Simcha. Simcha Beis HaShoeva, Achnasas Kala, Simcha Yontif, Avas Hashem. So that's what Rav Moshe says, it's limited. Not Mitoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah doesn't mean every mitzvah, Simcha shel mitzvah means the mitzvahs that were given to us with a sense of simcha. So we saw the machlokas, who wrote the Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech, about himself. Was it about Klal Yisrael or Chachamim? Was it about both? We saw that sometimes David writes the David Mizmor, sometimes he writes Mizmor to David. Shechin is only Shora, mitoch Simcha. Shechin is not Shora when you have these other five things: Atzlus, Atzvus, Schok, Kalas Rosh, and Dvarim Betelim. We saw, is it that you're supposed to feel awe, or are you supposed to feel happy when you're learning? Certainly you should be happy before you go to sleep if you want to have a good dream. But also the idea that a Rebbe would say a joke before beginning the shir, Pnei Yoshua says it doesn't mean really a joke. It means you say drush. You learn some agarata. How could you say a joke? Chas v'shalom, you say a joke. We just said Shechin is not Shora if you tell jokes. So the Pnei Yoshua is very, his shir, I guess, wasn't very entertaining. He began with no joke whatsoever. Whereas we saw that Teferes Yainas and Rabbi Yonasan Aipshit says it's to satisfy the guf. You can't nourish the neshama until you satisfy the guf. The Baal Tanya said it's too, because you need to be Oved Hashem b'simcha. In order to be Oved Hashem b'simcha, first you feel simcha, and then you continue by being Oved Hashem. Wishing everyone a wonderful Freilich and Purim, a good Gemar Tov, and a good Kvittel, like the Berditchever.